I would like to read tonight in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, the first book in our Bible, and the first chapter. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Drop down to verse number 21. And God created great whales on every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. Verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now chapter 2, please. And verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Verse chapter 3, please. Now we'll just break in at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam. I'll emphasize again, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, drop down to verse number 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Now, I trust God will bless these readings from his word and give us help to preach the gospel from this opening chapters, or these opening chapters in the book of Genesis, as well called the book of beginnings. And no doubt it gives us, no doubt, very clearly how sin commenced, how man was formed, and it gives us also, at the very opening stages of our Bible, the simple plan of God's salvation. What's on my mind is the four words that are very clear right in the surface of our reading. We want to look at the expression, God created. God created. And we will notice that God created in his sovereignty. There's no one there. God created in his sovereignty. He had the sovereign right to create as he created. There are three separate acts of creation in the book of Genesis chapter 1. He created the heavens and the earth. He created great whales and the fish of the sea and everything that moveth in the water. And then we have the third separate creative act of God. God created man in his own image. And so we want to look at the creation of God. God created in his sovereignty. Secondly, we want to notice that God commanded in his love. God placed our first parents in a beautiful garden conducive for their blessing. Man in his innocence, before he said, God gave him everything to enjoy. Only one prohibition of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God commanded man in his love as to the prohibition of eating of that tree. Then we want to notice when man sinned, which he did high-handedly. That's why our world is in such a chaotic state, because man's sin has brought every kind of evil upon our ruined society and ruined world. And friend, God called
in his mercy.
You know, God is a merciful God. God could have left man to continue on in his ruined, lost plight,
with no God, no hope, no future. But God in mercy called unto Adam, Adam, where art thou?
And I would like to use that expression tonight because really in this meeting, if you're not saved,
you need to hear distinctly, not the call of the preacher, but you need to hear the call of God.
He's saying, where are you? You know, he's doing that we would do as boys did.
He's calling you to find where you are. He knows where you are, but he wants you to recognize it. Where are you?
And then finally, God clothed. It's nice to notice that the same God that created, the same God that commanded, and the same God that called, is the same God that clothed our first parents with coats of skin.
We shall see how this picture so clearly, the work of Calvary, it's a little picture, a little foreshadowing of a great work that took place when the mighty sacrifice was offered, and God gives us a clothing of righteousness to cover all our sins. First of all, God created in His sovereignty. My friend, I hope you are a Bible believer.
I hope that this book, I know I can't understand it all, and you will never understand it all. We would become like God if we understood the Bible. But friend, we believe every dot in the I and every stroke in the T that it's infallible, inspired, indispensable, eternal. That book, friend. So Winston Churchill said one time concerning the Bible, it's worth that quote. You know what he said? He said that we can accept with absolute confidence God's eternal book far more accurate than the telegraphed messages of the day in which he lived. So he was a real believer in what this book declared. I don't know whether he was a Christian or not. That's not what's on my mind. But he did say, this book, friend, and I want to tell you, you dear soul tonight out of Christ without a Savior, you want to learn this, that book you hold, that Bible that you read, it's God's breathed word, handled it with care, appreciated with absolute thanksgiving, friend, that Bible that you have, it's a living, incorruptible book. It unfolds the truth that God created in His sovereignty. I love that. I've no doubt about it. Planet after planet, star after star, galaxy after galaxy, sun after sun.
My friend, all were put there in space by the mighty power of our Creator. God the Triune, God created the heavens and the earth in His sovereignty. He also created the whales and the fish in a separate act. And the third act was this. He took of the dust of the ground and He formed man. He created man.
I couldn't understand that enough.
Because we're living in a world of what you call skepticism, and people think we come from some little, I don't know where they get it from. Anyway, they get some little thing that you couldn't see, and so it evolved and evolved and evolved and evolved. And up come a tadpole, and from a tadpole came a monkey, and from a monkey came an ape, and from an ape came a man. What foolishness. Now, I don't mean to be humorous, but one man told me that recently, and boy, he was ready to jump down my throat. But I said to him, well, sir, if you're so sure that you come from an ape, it's a wonder you don't go up and see them more often. Boy, that really got his adrenaline up. Well, I said, I'm only answering you. You know, answer a man according to his folly. And I only answered him simply and plainly. My friend, how ridiculous. How foolish. We are God's creation. We are fearfully. We are wonderfully made. We are not a piece of driftwood on the stream of life. We, my friend, possess body, soul, and spirit. We are going to live forever. You're God's creation. Let it sink deep into your soul. The creation of God. It was Lehman Strauss, he's now in glory. He's a Baptist preacher. Somebody sent me a tape of one of his messages. He was only a young man when he preached it. And then years later, he must have preached the same message because the tape indicated it was an old tip. And whatever happened, he wanted to take up biology at a school, in a night school, and he needed to know a little about it. And at 27 years of age, he was a young man married, He went and enrolled in the next school, and the professor, of course, was atheistic in his thinking. He was an evolutionist. He believed in that. And of course, he taught from the textbook. He taught it that we come from some little thing, and developed and developed and developed and so forth. And, he always talked about the missing link. Strange enough. But anyway, as he was waxing eloquent to his students, and they were all listening breathlessly, this hand went up. And Mr. Lehman Strauss said, "Sir, excuse me." He said, "Either your textbook is right, or my Bible is right. They're both not right. They stand in opposite contradistinction one to another. And if my Bible's right, I can't accept your textbook." God bless him for a little backbone and courage. And of course the professor was knocked off his pedestal a minute, and he said, let us see and hear tomorrow what our beloved pastor has to say. That young man went home and told his wife, and to pray for hours and ask God for grace. And the next day they went into that classroom to speak to those students, and he said, "I'm more mellow now. I've learned a little along the way. You know, when you're young, you're a little brazen, and maybe you shouldn't say things that you should say. We recognize that." But he said, "I'm more mellow now," but he said, "I let that bird hop in between the eyes." And he said, "I said to him, I don't know how you felt about that our beloved professor. He called him a beloved professor. He said, I don't know what you thought about him, but I said, I didn't like him. He was making a mockery out of me." And then he went on, and then finally he got to the grand text of Scripture, and with power he unfolded the great truth of the Creator God, standing in all his absolute dignity, majesty, power, and glory. All things were brought into existence by the word of his power. God created. Let it sink deep into all our hearts. He dismissed the classroom, and in 2 years he got his diploma. He did it in 2 years, a 4-year term. And many, many years later, he was preaching in a fashionable church, a building in Pennsylvania, and he was taking up seemingly the same subject. I'm not packing my message tonight with a story, but I love it. After the meeting was over and they were having their food down in the basement, and the little girls were serving around the table, this little blonde girl in her early 20s come around the table and approach Mr. Strauss and said to him, "Sir, can I ask you, where did you get your biology lesson? And where did you get your diploma?" "Oh," he said, "it was a number of years ago in a certain place where he lived, far, far removed from Pennsylvania. And I took it there," he said, "and passed in 2 years." She said to him, "Would you know the name of the professor?" "Well," he says, I have to do a little scratching here. And he mentioned, "Well," she said, "you'll be happy to know that was my father." This is what I know. "Well, Mr. Strauss, my dad has been trying to get in touch with you, but has neglected it. But he would love to get in touch with you. He said he'd come storming into our house after you had spoken to the class. And he came storming into his wife and he said, 'Look, either the textbook that I'm teaching from is right, or either the Bible is right. The two stand in contrast one to another, and I'm going to sing until I find it.' Oh, I hope that the shaking souls tonight in this meeting, seeking after God and after Christ and after salvation and after heaven, friends." Then she said, with tears rolling down her cheeks, she said, "Mr. Strauss, that interview you had with him, that dialogue that you had, it resulted in my dad's conversion, my mother's conversion, and my evolution." Hallelujah. My friend, evolution or any other theory cannot produce results like that. Only God's mighty dynamic power and the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend tonight, thank God he created. He created all things, the heavens and the earth. He created man out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into man the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Secondly, he placed man in a garden. And in that garden, he gave him everything conducive. And man in his innocence had all things for his blessing. He gave him dominion over all things. But one prohibition. You know, God commanded not to hate. God didn't command us because he hated men. God loved his creature. Always remember that, friend. God commanded in his love, he wanted to find out the loyalty of his creature that he made. And that command, that prohibition in love, thou shalt not eat of one tree, when Adam sinned high-handedly, his wife took and gave to her husband. And we know the result, friend. Sin entered into the world in all its devastating power and results. And that's why we have our world, Vancouver, tonight, this little speck of the world, and the world is only a little speck in comparison to the mighty worlds that are above us, friend. That's why sin has crushed our humanity. Death by sin, death passed upon all men, all have sinned. And when Adam sinned in that garden and took of that fruit, you know, he felt it. Adam felt it. You know what they happened to do? They showed victory. And they hid amongst the trees in the garden. That's the attitude. You know, it's a solemn thing. And yet it's true. Right to the very moment when men come under the searchlight of God. And God is speaking to them. And his power is reaching them. And the gospel is affecting them. Did you ever notice? Peter Arizak well put it, you know. Peter is very fond of the, what do you call it? Different insects and little animals, and I'm not at all interested in turtles and all that sort of thing. And he picked up two turtles. And he called one of them Weaver because he got a Weaver settlement. And he caught another one. Forget what he called it anyway. But he got the two of them. And he was feeding them. And one night he was preaching the gospel. He said, you know, some of you folk remind me of the turtle. He said, well, that hard cast on its back. He said, it puts his little head out. And if he hit, it's back. It puts his head back in. He said, some people are exactly this. When they come onto the light of the gospel, duck in and hide. Friend, may God help you to face tonight. Face it tonight. God created in his sovereignty. God commanded in his love. Now, friend, when Adam sinned, God could have said, well, I'll make other people. He had the power to do it, friend. But God so loved, that God called in his infinite mercy. And friend, he said, Adam, where art thou? God's trying to locate you. I hope you're feeling it tonight. He's trying to locate you. Where are you tonight? In relation to eternity and God and heaven. And salvation and Christ. Where do you stand tonight? You know, friend, I hope that you'll come out into the open. God will never bless you until you do, friend. If you hide, if you run away from it, if you say, well, some other time, I'll get it some other day, friend, you'll never get it that way. You must face it in all its absolute reality. Where are you tonight? Don't run. Stop and halt. God in this meeting is trying to ask you a simple question. Where are you in relation to God? Are you born again? Are you saved? Do you know Christ? Have you had your sins forgiven? Have you come out into the open before God and acknowledged, Lord, here I am. I can't run any longer. I can't hide, for God sees me. I can't do anything, but God knows. You want to come out in the open tonight? You know, I hid for 20 years. Well, not 20, but I hid for many years. Didn't want to come onto the searchlight. Didn't want to come out in the open. Tried to cover. Tried to hide. Man has ever been doing that, friend, right into 1995, right to this very present night, friend. Our world has millions of people that are hiding, running, trying to escape. How wonderful in our world tonight there are people coming out in the open. You know what they want? They want to get right with God. They don't want to hide anymore, friends. They want to be honest with God. You'll never be saved until you're honest with God. God will never save a dishonest soul. God will never save a sinner, my friend, who plays with it. Who says, sometime, somewhere, I'm going to get it. You have to be absolutely honest friend and real and genuine after God's salvation, I can go no further. I remember a girl coming to meetings and Mr. Bingham and I had it terribly to something over the old liquor commission. That was some place at meetings, but I tell you, it was a good place. And we that hall was filled every night. And that girl's now in Venezuela, neighboring with her dear husband, Esther Patterson, who's now Esther Turkington. Never forget it. She come to me, and her father told us, he said, you know, Esther's such a stubborn girl. We'll have to drag her in every night. And she doesn't want to come. She's kicking all the time. Well, I said, it's very obvious. Boy, in the meeting, she's hard to preach to. Her gums are going just 13 to the dozen. And during that, she's flipping her, you know, sitting in the basement, and looking at you defiantly and swinging her head up. Mr. Bacon and I watched her make. Boy, she was difficult. I never forget when God works, friend. That's what we need right tonight. Never forget one night she walked out of that hall. I can see her yet. And as the people were dispersing and the last one had gone out, she burst right in through the door. She looked at Mr. Bingham and asked, she said, I can go no further. I can fight no longer. She said, my defenses are all down. She said, I'm going to hell and I want to be saved tonight. My friend, isn't that wonderful? I hope that's where you are tonight. May all the defenses be removed. Wonderful when a sinner comes out into the open and is honest with God and honest about their sin. That's the person that gets God's salvation. You know, there were three Baptist preachers attended meetings. I'll never forget that. Three of them. Now I'll forget three. And they brought the parishioners. Pack the hall. And one man I thought he was a tenant. Oh, I said to myself, that he's watching, seeing what we're doing here. And we're trying to see this number, to see this. Gracious. I really did. I felt that. It was very, very... I misjudged. I really was out of mind. The Lord, because I was misjudging. One night he stood up at the end of the meeting, sober-faced, white countenance. He waited till everyone went out. He got a hold of my hand and a hold of Mr. Bell. He said, look, sir, I'm on the road to hell. He said, I've been over my life for 50 years. And he said, I've not been for eternity. Only religion. He said, I remember when I was baptized. And he said, I've been preaching all these years. I don't know I've been preaching, but he said, I've never been born again. He said, would you pray for me? The boy went up to the front of that building and he said, down beside us, I'll never forget the Mr. Spencer did that. Down beside us, we both prayed for him and talked to him for about half an hour. I can see him walk out in the darkness. Felt very sorry for him. But it was good to see it. But I felt sorry for him. He's so lonely living, so dejected living, so forlorn living. Next morning, 9 o'clock, up our drive to the old dirt driveway, I could hear the car come up. 9 o'clock. That's the knock for like. He says, I want to tell you something. Don't tell me that. I said, I have to get Mr. Bingham here. I pulled up the Hoogley family. I said, tell Bill to come over immediately. And I said, Mr. Spencer, tell us now. Boy, he said, you're making it hard for me. He said, I want to tell you immediately. Well, I said, I want to think you're here for me. You know what he said last night I was home? He said, I looked over my life. I said, I come to the conclusion, 50 years of religion, 50 years on the road to hell. And he said, all I could cry out before God was this, Lord, help me, save me, show me. I'm lost and I can't save myself. And he said, I was always told in the theological college that I went to, always read the Roman epistle. And he said, I started to read Romans 1, 2, 3 on my knees. He said, I got to chapter 4. I loved it. To him that worketh not, but believing in him that justifieth me in bodily is faith, is counted unto him for righteousness. He said it was right there, without my works, without any effort, I understood by grace Christ had died for me. It's all finished, it's all done. Boy, I tell you, I didn't go to the Baptist church the next Sunday, you know, but I would love to have peeked in and listened through the door where he was going to tell them. But I tell you what I heard from his parishioners. They were shocked. Stood up and he said, you know, if you want to hear the gospel, close it off. plain, simple, forthright. He said, that's what I learned. I was on the road to hell. I needed a new birth.
My friend tonight, I hope that you'll be real. God is calling you. Where are you tonight? Finally, as I close, God closed.
I like this story, God closed. My friend, what happened? Adam saw something he never saw before. He had never seen an animal slain. This is something he'd never seen. It's an object lesson tonight. And as that animal slain, it was skinned. And from that one animal, he gave 2 coats of skin. Please know. From the one skin, 2 coats.
It's indicative in simple language that the mighty work of Christ, one sacrifice, covers the many. That day, Adam and Eve did something that would live with them the rest of their life. They took from God 2 coats.
That was indicative that the only way we can meet God and the only way we can enjoy God is by His call that He has given us. You know, dear soul tonight, the only way you can have your sins forgiven, the only covering that will meet the eye of God that accepts it, is the covering provided at Calvary in the one sacrifice for sins forever.
My friend tonight, 38 years ago, I got a suitability.
I suit, and sometimes you're big, and sometimes you pluck weight in your weight, and your suit gets big, and it doesn't fit your weight. I got a covering that fits me for eternity.
Perfect. It's like a glove. It has been acceptable toward God, not only for time, but for eternity. It's an unchanging covering. It's a covering of righteousness.
It's all based on the value of the sacrifice and the precious blood. I hope tonight, some dear soul,
I could say to Adam right now, the elders tapping him, did you do anything about that coat? Did you mean it?
I said, no. I did nothing but sin. And you see what I'm wearing right now? I hadn't one thing to do with it. I just took it from God's hand. That's all. That's all you need, friend, to clothe you for eternity, taking God's gift yourself from God's hand.